I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy Tuesday. Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app, which you can carry just about anywhere with you. You can even listen in Sugartit, South Carolina, if you so choose. It's real.
Appreciate that.
Look it up. Alongside Matthew Esteson, I'm Choice Woodman. Got Clint Scott back behind the glass taking care of us.
You tried to sneak it in that time.
Yeah.
Tried to just breeze right past it.
Yeah, my bad. I did call you Matthew as well. I don't think I've ever called you Matthew. Which do you prefer?
It don't matter. Hey.
Hey,
yeah,
you.
That'll work. I mean, I'm pretty easy.
That guy with the Britney Spears poster on his wall.
Hey. That was a while ago.
You don't still have it?
No. There's no posters on the wall. Okay. You have any posters on your wall?
You had a Hanson poster for a while.
I did have a Hanson poster at my desk for a long time. That was a punishment that I had to endure for about a year. No, none.
Nothing, right?
I mean, I've got a, yeah, I mean, not in my bedroom wall, though. So there's like some memorabilia type of stuff all together.
Okay.
And there's, I think, one poster in that room. But no, two. But no, no.
Yeah.
Don't have any car posters that you get at the Scholastic Book Fair or the any bands going on anymore.
No.
Clint probably does. His wife is cool.
Oh, she is. We don't have a poster of any kind.
None. Really. The kids have posters.
I don't have decorating rights to my own house, so
I think anybody with male parts, that's and a wife.
Well, I guess,
yeah, that's usually how that works.
Yeah, I fight to keep the garage mine. I mean, that's about how it goes. So
I can only remember one poster even growing up, and it was a Priest Holmes poster that I got from our school cafeteria.
Priest
that was like, hey, drink milk.
Wait, you got it from your school cafeteria? Like, they gave it was a Got Milk one?
It was like at the end of the school year, we're getting rid of these. Does anybody want them? And I was like, I'll take the Kansas City Chiefs one. Yes, thank you.
Was it Got Milk? Like, was it that?
Yeah. God, those used to be so popular of what athlete was on there.
It was at that time, fat heads were getting really popular, right?
Fat heads.
And so this wasn't a full-size Priest Holmes one, but it was a big one, and it was like my version of a knockoff fat head poster.
Okay.
You can tell us what was on your wall, is on your wall. Whatever you got, bring it in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We're with you till 3 o'clock today. Got plenty to get into on the sports front as well. We are technically arrived at NCAA tournament day, though it doesn't feel like it. We get the first four starting tonight. So we'll look a little bit at those games. You'll be able to hear them on 100.7 The Score this evening. Of course, we've got Texas Tech basketball once again today as the Red Raiders, I said basketball, baseball. It's going to be a long day. Red Raiders taking on Abilene Christian this evening. You'll find that one on Double T 97.3. ESPN's put out what a 64-team football bracket would look like. We'll kind of look at that. Clemson's out there suing the ACC today, so there's that fun stuff. They seem all happy over there in the Atlantic Coast Conference right now.
There's always somebody filing lawsuits over there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Florida State did one. I can't remember how long ago it was, and now Clemson is following suit.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended. Scott Boris apparently isn't a good agent anymore in Major League Baseball, so So there's that. Lots of topics to get into over the next 3 hours or so. It's also the first day of spring. Happy spring to you.
Okay. Happy. Didn't even know that. Didn't even know.
That signals the Texas stop sign. They're giving away free ice cream today because of the first day of spring. So if you want to mosey on over, you can get a free cone.
Love ice cream.
Limit one per person. So make your way over there. You love ice cream? They were just talking about ice cream on the previous show. Best flavor?
Ooh. I've been stuck right now on coffee-flavored ice cream.
That's sinful.
It is. I mean, you can go traditional, like cookies and cream or chocolate. Yeah. Or
go traditional, because it's better than coffee.
Coffee ice cream is really good.
Why would you ruin your ice cream like that?
The old Brahms, they have a coffee-chocolate combo flavor that's my all-time favorite ice cream. So I'm all the way in with Matt.
So I'm anti-coffee in general, just not a coffee drinker.
I don't drink coffee.
So you like the flavor though?
I will drink I will drink a cold brew.
Okay.
But I'm not somebody that's gonna go buy one. I'm not gonna spend $7 on a cup of coffee every morning. Okay. That's kind of where I'm at. Now,
so you
don't
only drink you only like the taste of the fancy coffee, but you're not gonna spend on it.
Correct. Okay. Like if somebody comes to the office and they're like, "Hey, we bought cold brews for everybody," I'm like, "Sure, I'll take one." But
okay, I get that. So I was on a plane one time. This was
private or
chartered. It's a chartered flight. And they walk up and down the aisles and give out snacks and stuff on these chartered flights at times. So one thing they offer after you eat your meal is ice cream bars. Like these ice cream bars or frozen yogurt bars or whatever. I grabbed what I thought was chocolate at the time. Was not chocolate. It was coffee. But I had to eat the whole thing because if you don't sit there and eat the ice cream, it's going to melt everywhere and make a giant mess. So I had to endure coffee ice cream one time, and I didn't.
You really don't like you don't. Is it something you can eat but not enjoy? Or you just flat out were like, "Hey, this tasted like crap." There's a difference.
I could get through it because there was like a hint of some chocolate as well, but it is still coffee stuff repulses.
This sounds like his Everest.
Yeah.
No, drinking the coffee here at work is the Everest.
Oh man,
that stuff.
You got a doctorate.
Yeah,
you got doctorate.
I mean, and see that black.
I don't like hot drinks in general, like at all, like hot chocolate. Coffee, any of that stuff. I think all of that's terrible.
Whoa.
So that's probably why I don't.
We didn't ask you to bring hot chocolate into this.
I'm just saying. That's
what did hot chocolate do to you?
That's probably why I don't like coffee, the actual drink. Like I just, hot stuff.
That's actually one of the ways you can doctor the work coffee, and it's magnificent because it's hot chocolate.
So.
Sorry, hot chocolate.
Y'all keep chiming in, your thoughts, your comments, your questions, all of it welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through the 100.7 The Score mobile app. We will get to a lot of your thoughts. Got a lot of headlines to bring you as well coming up in just a little bit. You're listening to The Bottom Line with you till 3 o'clock today on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be part of your Tuesday. Choice Woodman, Matt Esteson in the First United Bank studio. Clint Scott back behind the glass. You can keep hitting us up. Whatever thoughts and comments you got, bring those in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line through the 100.7 The Score mobile app and at 107thescore.com. We will we'll continue to get to a few more of your thoughts there on the chat line. Heck, we'll do it right now. Choice has Baylor posters all over his bedroom. Rumor is Choice has a Brittany Griner poster hung up in the bedroom. Okay. Good to know. I thought the 21st was the first day of spring. Actually, I believe the spring equinox can fall March 19th, 20th, or 21st.
You looked at me when you started that, yeah, like in support, and I have no idea.
I believe it can fall on three different days. I think there's certain, like, I think winter falls on December 21st every year, I think. I don't know. I don't know how it all works.
Say
but
it confidently.
Yes, it can. But, yeah, I think that's where spring can fall. So Easter, like, Easter's determined off the spring because it goes off the moon, right? It's the first full moon after the first spring equinox, right?
Sure.
Okay.
That's exactly right. I just looked it up.
It's this first Sunday after the first full moon. Yeah. Sounds right. Always mess that up. Viva 73 says his favorite ice cream flavor is Bluebell. Okay. All of them? Just all of them.
I mean, that's fair.
The cookie two-step is pretty darn good.
I still haven't tried the was it Dr. Pepper?
Yeah, it's good.
It tastes like
a Dr. Pepper float. There's no way. It tastes like a Dr. Pepper float. So if you like Dr. Pepper.
I can't buy any of the Bluebell stuff. So
Aggie stuff? Or what?
It's just $97 for a half gallon of ice cream.
No,
so
you definitely have to wait till our friends at United put it on sale for $4 a gallon before you can gallon.
Yeah. $4 a gallon would be.
$4 a half gallon, but yeah.
Or take out a loan.
Now, ice cream's expensive, man.
It is. It is.
It's crazy.
But it's a necessity and, you know.
Do you have ice cream in your fridge all the time?
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
Do you?
No, because I'll eat it.
Yeah.
I save it for, we go to, we'll go make an ice cream run or something like at, you know, Brahms or sometimes Chick-fil-A, something like that.
I think we currently have portions of 5 half gallons in the fridge right now. Freezer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Loyal.
Gotta be.
Yeah. We don't keep any ice cream at the house.
There's a butter pecan in there. There's a
now that is
peaches and homemade vanilla.
I could pass.
There's a regular homemade vanilla. That's good. Chocolate and I don't remember what the other one is.
I'm not big on fruit and
some
ice
sort
cream.
Of peanut butter one. You don't like it? Oh man.
No, like I can do vanilla, just straight vanilla.
Peach ice cream's hard to beat when it's done right.
Where you at on like strawberry ice cream then? Because that's kind of the
let me back up. I can eat it, but that's not what I would buy like in a half gallon. Like if we're going to like Brahms and like, hey, give me a single scoop of that. Yeah, I'm down with that. It's similar to what I asked him earlier. It's not much. I can put it down, but that wouldn't be my choice. That's not my go-to.
Mm-hmm. This from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. In my garage shop, I have several Tech basketball posters. Wasn't sure what to do with the beard ones, so they're still there. It's wild to look at one with McClung, McCullough, and Shannon and think where they all are now. Yeah.
Hey, Mac picked the Red Raiders in his bracket.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Nice guy.
He's not winning his bracket pool.
Hey.
It
could happen. Did you see what happened last year?
Guys.
Did you see what happened last year?
Listen.
That is one thing. As far as the tournament goes, I feel like it has gotten just crazier and crazier every year. And I think the portal has helped become an equalizer, and it seems like everybody's just an older team now. Like no one has a super young team that's in the tournament. It's everybody has experience. Yeah, everybody has experience. Everybody has – you can go get someone. So just think about the last few years we've had. We've had – last year was probably the craziest of anything. Not maybe the most watchable Final Four, but the wildest. You had a 4 seed win it all with a 5, a 5, and a 9. San Diego State, Miami, and Florida Atlantic.
The UConn side makes it a little less crazy just for them individually, even though they were a 4 seed.
Sure.
But the rest of it, yes.
But still, I mean, it's still a 4, 5, 5, and 9.
Yes, as a whole, yes.
Year before that, you got...
That's not outlandish, though, the year before that.
No, you got a Kansas as a 1 seed winning it, and then 2 twos and an 8. But still, you have an 8.
Yeah, but those are all blue blood. That 8 is...
That was the blue bloodiest of Final Fours. You went from almost nothing blue blood type last year. The previous year is all blue bloods. The previous year before that, 2-1s, a 2, and an 11. But UCLA was the 11. 1, a 3, a 5, and a 2 in 2019. Tech was the 3, obviously. You had an 11 in 2018 in Loyola Chicago. 7 seed in South Carolina in 2017. 10 seed in 2016 with Syracuse. 7 seed with Michigan State in 2015. A 7 and an 8 in the championship game in 2014 with UConn and Kentucky.
It seems pretty consistent when you're looking at
I don't completely disagree with what you're saying, but when you're going through a lot of those, they're all
right.
Still either blue bloods or like teams that you are mostly familiar with.
You're exactly right.
You're catching 1 out of 4 schools that maybe shouldn't be there, but most of these rankings are all pretty high.
Absolutely.
As you've gone through. So it's not as wild as it, as you said.
But you go back.
2008 was the only year I see that all four seeds.
That's the only time it's ever happened.
Yeah.
I think in the 64-team era, first time that all four were one seeds and got through. You know, it's – you look at the history of the tournament, and you have years that are crazier than others. There's no question. Almost always in recent history, it is a 1 or a 2 winning it, though.
2011 was a pretty off year with a 3, 4, 8, and 11.
Yeah.
Like that's
3, 4, 8, and 11. UConn, Butler, Kentucky, VCU.
VCU, yeah.
Shaka Smart, VCU. Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the upsets are even more than what we used to see. And maybe I'm just hyping my own brain up for March Madness because it lives up to the hype every single season. I mean, there's never a March Madness where I walk away. There's Super Bowls where I walk away disappointed. There is national championships or college football playoffs where I'm like, man, that was boring. There's some blowouts there. But outside of my team-specific results, I don't think I've ever walked away from a March Madness saying, man, it was a down year.
No, I can agree with that statement.
It just feels like, especially the first weekend.
First weekend, I'm mad I don't have 7 TVs in my living room and I only have 2 plus my phone, so I'm really following 3-4 games.
You got to figure it out. There's some services out there now where you can do 4 on one screen.
Well, yeah, it'll post them, but like, you know, like in my office, I have 2 40-inch TVs sitting right there on the wall, mounted both on the wall, and then behind me I have 2 monitors and then my laptop. So like usually I'll go into my office and
it feels like you can cover a lot of territory there. But no, it just this time of year as a sports fan is my absolute favorite time of year. College basketball isn't my favorite sport. I love it. It's not my favorite sport
until March.
But it is my favorite time of year. These next 2 days or Thursday, Friday are my favorite 2 sports days of the year. And we will get nutty upsets. In the last few years, we've seen more 13s beat a 3, 13s beat a 4, or 14s beat a 3 than normal. We've seen – I feel like we're starting to see some of these mid-majors able to clip some of the bigger guys because of the transfer portal, because you're getting transfers and older guys – taking them out. I feel like it's more equal than it used to be in the past. Yep. Y'all can agree or disagree on the chat line. We'll get to some of your thoughts on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line and look more tech specific. Get Matt's thoughts on the Red Raiders matchup with a big NC State team coming up on Thursday. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's going on? Happy Tuesday. Good afternoon and welcome back. This is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Brought to you, as always, by our friends at Happy State Bank. You can take that mobile app just about anywhere with you, even listening over in Puck, Poland.
Puck, Poland.
Yeah, I wonder if they're hockey
P-U-C-K?
Fans. P-U-C-K? P-U-C-K. I bet they like hockey over there. That's Jamie Lent. I'm Choice Woodman, Clint Scott.
In Poland?
Back behind the glass, yeah.
Of course they do.
Well, yeah, it's cold all the time, so.
Seems like prime hockey fan territory.
Well, what else do you do in Poland? I honestly don't know.
Clint? What are the national hobbies in Poland?
Mountains? The mountains in Poland?
Hey, you pretty much do that everywhere. Yeah.
I mean, they're...
Well, I mean, not everywhere.
Except Lubbock, Texas. What was the
yeah. I did take some back roads on the way back. So, came home from the Metroplex this weekend, and I-20 was an absolute disaster. Never have dealt with it worse than this past weekend. Like bumper to bumper, no joke, from Weatherford to...
What time did you come back?
Like around lunchtime. Not, I mean, it was like 10 or 11 in the morning.
I remember one time coming back from East Texas from Thanksgiving, and it seems like I always used to come back Saturday, but one time I waited until Sunday and rolled into town at like 7, 8 o'clock Sunday night.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The traffic was the worst I'd ever seen.
The spring break. Yeah, coming sure, in, yeah. Sure has something to do with it. But I don't know. It was like going from 70 down to 40, back to 70. Like just bumper to bumper the whole way. So eventually I peeled off in Mingus and drove up through Strawn and went some of the back way. There's like almost mountains back there.
Really? I
mean, not mountains, but hill country for... A part that there was some territory in Texas I'd never been in, and I was like, wow.
You've never heard of the Mingus Mountains before?
Mingus Mountains, man. Mingus Mountains. In Texas.
Thurber Mingus?
Definitely some good hunting.
It's a great sign. I love when we drive by Thurber Mingus.
Yeah. It's right there. So great hunting territory. Crossed like four different turkeys crossed in front of us on the road while we were going. So I almost stopped and asked
I can't
one
believe
to get in the
they
car.
Found. You found four Kansas fans walking in Mingus.
Turkeys. But I'm we'll have the dad joke of the day coming up in about,
I heard a Choice can make a mean turkey call.
I'm waiting on the kicker.
No, I was seeing if you would do your turkey call for us.
Oh, you really want me to?
Yes.
No.
Desperately.
No. No, I'm smiling now.
It's going to scare me away.
No, it's not worth it. We'll talk some sports this hour as well.
I was expecting a dad joke on the end of that.
I was too.
He said, I heard Choice can make a mean turkey call. I was expecting something like, I didn't even know they could use the phone.
No, oh,
something
man.
Like that.
Prime opportunity.
Now do a dog bowl joke.
Oh, I don't like you guys. Not you. It's always have to wait for the cough out of respect, you know.
Or the mate.
Humpty doo! So, Texas Tech
plays. Humpty doo! Mate.
Thank you. Texas Tech plays NC State on Thursday. Don't know if you noticed that, Jamie. But
they do. Are you excited to see us go up against the big fella?
I'm a little nervous, to be honest.
Yeah.
Tech and size have not been synonymous this year for your basketball team. You have been undersized most of the year because you had one big guy and he's been hurt for 9 games. So that's not great. And then one of your other big-ish guys got hurt in the BYU game. Though I do think...
Did you mention your other big guy got hurt like in November?
Well, that guy too. Yeah,
oh, that guy too.
I guess I've already kind of. I mean, just not
now.
Forgotten.
Talk about the other big guy that you know got like 10 minutes in that one game, and we haven't seen him.
That guy that left you, that other big guy named.
This is a fun game.
Wow,
he said sarcastically.
So size hadn't been great, but no, I've kind of written off Devin Cambridge just as a. He's next year, like. Just kind of forgotten about
sure
him
would
because
like to have him now,
oh, it'd be wonderful. But I mean, it happened so long ago and before conference play, I haven't really thought of it that much. because you haven't had him during conference play. But I am a little nervous about that aspect, the NC State part of, hey, these guys are big and Texas Tech is not. So you're going to be largely using Robert Jennings, who is a very undersized big, and Himeli Yolaho, who is a freshman who's shown good signs, but still very much a freshman out there. And to me, this particular matchup is whether you can outshoot them. Texas Tech can make shots. You still should be able to beat this team. If not, then they may take advantage inside and say goodbye to you in the first round.
It feels like it's going to take that, right? Yeah. It's going to take you really having a good day shooting a basketball from behind the arc, because you wouldn't guess. I mean, as you have been offensively, you haven't been dominated by an inside presence. You have been a team that, you know, at times is aggressive going to the basket, and so guards and wings scoring that way. But yeah, it just doesn't and to match up with this guy who is not only a big dude, but he's also a really good passer out of the post and creates. And so it's not like you can double off of him.
Yeah.
Or double onto him, I should say, because he's going to find people, and that's what scares me.
Yeah, I think it's not exclusive that Tech can't score in the paint, because the Baylor game, where they have really good bigs, they have some of the best bigs in the Big 12 Conference, especially Misi. That Baylor game, Tech had 40-something points in the paint, and you went kind of toe-to-toe with them.
Sure.
And were aggressive, and were – so it's not like – because one of your more inconsistent players has been Robert Jennings. Some games he goes up and it's like, wow, how did he do that against those guys?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other games where he can't catch the basketball, and it's just frustrating, the inconsistencies that have been there. So I'm not saying you can't have a good game inside, but I think it is a lot easier to hope for a good shooting day than hope for a good day inside against this team. We'll talk some more about the tournament, about Texas Tech, the matchup, talk some baseball. Red Raiders and Abilene Christian tonight. What do the Red Raiders need to do to bounce back? All of that still to come. It is the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Going to be part of your Tuesday. You're listening to the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman, Jamie Lint here in the First United Bank studio. Keep hitting us up. Whatever thoughts, comments, questions you got, bring those in on the AIDS Flooring Center chat line through that 100.7 The Score mobile app. Did you see Clemson is suing the ACC, Jamie?
Why are they suing the ACC, Choice?
Because they want to leave.
So they're trying to join forces with Florida State
yes.
to get out.
That is exactly what's happened. So Clemson filed a lawsuit against the ACC in Pickens County, South Carolina today.
That should be a name that you use when you say, you can even listen to us on the mobile app in Pickens County, Georgia?
South Carolina. Okay. I bet they have the internet out that way.
Bet they do.
It's a good chance of it. So they filed one today, 28-page complaint. That sounds horrible to read. It's the first step by the Tigers to ultimately leaving the conference, similar to the peers Florida State. Seminoles are also entrenched in a court battle for the ACC's grant of rights agreement. Florida State believes it should be allowed to leave with no penalty despite agreeing to the grant of rights in 2013. Clemson is following suit here. So what happens next here? How long does this continue to go on? It's a horrible look for the ACC, where you're two, at this moment, those are the two most important programs, right? I mean, I know Miami's in the conversation, but those are the two most important.
Probably so.
Clemson and Ace and Florida State. So if this,
I don't know, probably North Carolina or Duke probably thinks they're in that conversation.
But as we know, basketball money is not the same as football money.
Correct.
Or the Big 12 would be the best conference out there if it was. That being said, I think this is just, in my mind, this is just the next step towards the super conferences, right? Because if they lose, those two teams
are going to go to the the SEC.
They're going to go to the SEC or the Big Ten. I would guess SEC for both, but but we could see either. Mm-hmm. If that happens, then we're just, then it's like the Big 12. You're left without a super team in that conference. You're left without a blue blood, a football blue blood in that conference.
Okay.
And then what happens there? This is where I think it's important for this next deal to get done as quick as possible with ESPN and the college football playoff. Because if it doesn't get done fairly soon, and you do have teams like this jump ship, then I think that deal's going to be less sweet for the Big 12. Right now, the one on the table has two guaranteed spots for the Big 12. If that comes to fruition or not, we'll see.
Right.
If you've got the ACC and the Big 12 without either any blue blood, is less power out there. I don't know. I
just feels like the SEC and the Big 10 are going to even more so be able to kind of bully everybody else.
Yeah. Again, I don't know how long this takes. Maybe that agreement is airtight and these teams can't get out until, what is it, 2036 or something crazy? Yeah, it's a long time. Mm. And if that's the case, then we've got at least somewhat of structure around college football for a little while longer. But once they do jump ship, I think we are on a fairly fast track to going to two super conferences and go from there. Just hope the Red Raiders are involved. And I think they will be, but need to be good at football. That's the next step, right? You can have the money, you can have the facilities. I think the most recent Forbes projection that was put out had Tech in the top 25 in terms of most valued programs out there. Mm-hmm. Ahead of a few of the SEC teams. The lower ones. So that those are all good things, but I don't think I really feel completely solid in Texas Tech landing in the in crowd unless you're doing well in football. Because you've had a 7-5 season and a 6-6 season the last 2 years, and those have been among your better seasons in the last decade.
Yeah, obviously I think facilities and the money that you put into your athletic department I think factors in a little bit, right? Because there are other teams that are already in the Big Ten and the SEC that are also that are terrible in football, that haven't had 7-6 and 8-5 seasons, right?
Yeah.
There are plenty of those.
There's lots of them, sure.
But they're kind of grandfathered in.
And that's what stinks.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt, you get to shoe in with everybody else. Mm-hmm. Rutgers, welcome. Yep. I mean, there's some other examples.
Those
as
are
well.
The two schools that I was thinking.
I mean,
of.
Those are the ones for sure that fit the bill the most. So there's that side of college football. Jamie, if we had a 64 team college football playoff, would you be interested? Is that way too many?
That seems like too many.
Okay. ESPN put out their 64-team college football playoff as projected. This isn't from last year. This is as projected by the FPI.
For this upcoming season?
For this upcoming season. So they've projected forward what basically a bracketology for their 64-team playoff.
Okay.
What seed do you think the Red Raiders would be in? Or would they be in the 64-team mix?
So, I'm going to say the Red Raiders would be in a six seed.
Not a terrible guess, but it is way off. I would guess
10 seed.
10 seed is exactly right. 10 seed means you're a top 40
36
team.
36 to 40.
Yeah, you're a top 40 team. 36 to 40.
And so they're projecting we're going to finish. I mean, if you were doing rankings for this upcoming season, we're 36 to 40th.
That's what they're projecting.
Do you think that we'll finish?
I think going into the season, that's what they've got.
Do you think we'll finish better than 36 to 40th?
Oh, I didn't realize this was a projection. I was going off of what last year's.
No, that's.
Yeah, no, I could have bought into that being last year's.
Let me read to make sure. Yeah, this is for a 2024 football tournament. Yeah. 10 seed, along with Nebraska, Maryland, and Liberty. That's what they've got Tech at. So you would play one of NC State, Kansas, Iowa, or Auburn. Obviously, you wouldn't play Kansas, but you play one of those 7 seeds in this.
Is it bad, you know, you just mentioned NC State again. Is it bad that I, like, hate their entire athletic department over their football coach's comments in the locker room? You remember he was the one that was talking about North Carolina's players, and they had beaten North Carolina 2 years or something in a row, and he went into the locker room, and the ACC network cameras caught him saying those pieces of you-know-what haven't beat us in 1,000 days or something like that.
I do remember
And I
that.
Just think that was way over the line. And so NC State has done nothing about that. You know, I don't know if he should. I just think that's way over the line.
I had forgotten about that because it was really not publicized that much. Yeah. It was a pretty quiet story.
And the ACC network is smart enough to just air it. Yeah, great.
Yeah, those pieces. This is Dave Doran, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm like in the boat.
Hey, you know, it's been 1,460 days since those pieces of bleep beat us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were the comments. So I'd forgotten about that. You remember, obviously.
Yeah, that really bothered me. I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, those guys think they're better than us, or, you know, we own this rivalry or whatever, but to call another
school's
kids pieces of, that was too much.
Yeah. I think that's fine to have disdain for
or
that
call
reason.
It a piece of blank program,
yeah,
but to call the players individually,
yeah, calling those players it's a little different.
Yeah, so I hate everything NC State, so
so who do you think the highest in this projection, who do you think the highest Big 12 seeds are, the 64 team projection?
Kansas State
is third on the list. They're a 5 seed.
Utah
and Arizona, both projected as 4 seeds currently. So that's 12 to 16. 13 to 16.
You guys think we'll finish better than 36 to 40?
I do. Yeah. Because, again, schedule. I think this is where the FPI has you projected. I don't know how much of it bases off of last year or whatever. But it's mostly computer-driven on this. But, yeah, I think, like I would have said about last year, if you don't finish better than 36 to 40, it's a little bit of a disappointing season. Not a little bit. I mean, I think it would be a disappointing season this year.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can chime in on that or anything else. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, all welcome on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Get some of those. Jamie has his question of the day next on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thanks for hanging with us on a Tuesday. We got the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com all the way till 3 o'clock. Joyce Woodman, Jamie Lynch joining you from the First United Bank studio. Clint Scott handling us once again. Also yours on television, Fox 34 News Now. It's about that time of day.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day.
All right, we're going to Red Raider basketball here.
Ooh. They're in Pittsburgh, so that's a long trip from here.
That is a long trip from here. Okay. And we're just going with tonight or Thursday night's game.
Okay.
Okay, we're not thinking ahead to the next round. We're worrying about this one game.
Yes.
Okay. So we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. But if you you can tell me the one key stat that you feel like you need to do well in. What is the one key stat that's going to decide whether or not you win this game?
Man, there's two that immediately came to mind.
And if Clint answers, you have more points than they do. I get to tase him with that thing of yours.
Well, I had a completely different answer.
Please answer that. Mm-hmm. Please. Okay, mine.
Just shock someone with it. You've been, you were like trying to bait Matt, like, oh, it's not that bad. Oh,
this was all off air. What? Well, Clint started to do it. He wanted me to do it on his leg. I'm like, this is technically a lighter. I don't want to like put a burn hole on your pants.
Yeah, I was going to let you do it on my leg. And then you said when it's going to leave a burn mark, and you were just like, let's just do it on your arms. No, I don't know.
It's going to do a burn mark. Okay, so the two that immediately came to mind was rebounding and 3-point. Well, no, not 3-point, but field goal percentage in this game. The rebounding, you've been out-rebounded several times this year and survived it. So I'm going to scratch that one out. I do think it's got to be fairly close, mm-hmm. but you can't get out-rebounded by 15 or 20 and expect to win this game. But the field goal percentage, you look at the correlation with that and wins this year, it's pretty spot on. When Texas Tech has been able to knock down shots, they've won a lot of games. And that's where I go immediately is if you have a field goal percentage, I would say as a team above 40, I feel pretty good about the team's chance to win.
What if I say North Carolina State has less points than you? Is that shockable? Just want to know before I submit an official answer. My mind went to what choices was with shooting percentage, but I'm going to narrow it down. I think 3-point percentage is going to be really important. And you don't have to have a just outstanding, out of your mind, you know, 3-point night, but you need to have a good night. And I think that you need to have that every single matchup because we've seen you lose games and we know this. You're not going to stop taking threes. And in some of those games back in February, you can look at Pop first, but this was also some team issues as well. Like when you weren't shooting it well from outside, well, you just didn't have a great shot in that game. And the other side of it, again, is you knew and you needed to because you're a good 3-point shooting team, and that is an asset of yours and a weapon of yours, but you knew you were going to keep taking them. And so on nights where you were just cold, it just felt like you didn't have anything else go well offensively either.
Okay, so I'm going to go shooting percentage as well, but I'm a little bit different than you guys. I guess my point is you have to win it, okay? And okay. So what I'm saying is you need to shoot decent, but you also need to defend well.
Okay.
Because if you don't defend well, you can shoot it well, and I think this team's still good enough to beat you. What going back to, like, BYU, which may have been, I don't know, your most complete game of the season. It sure did look like it. It was really good. Well, I mean, there were stretches there late that it got a little away from you. But think about that first half. I mean, not only were you shooting great, but every time they were taking driving the lane and trying to take a mm-hmm. get a layup or get a floater or whatever, there were some really, really tough twos. Now, agreed. It did feel like you gave up some open threes that they just didn't knock down. But I feel like there were a lot of tough twos mixed in there. And so to me, it's not just about what you're doing with the shooting percentage offensively, but what you're forcing NC State into as well. If you can force them into having a bad day, then you don't have to be just awesome shooting the ball. You just have to be decent.
I think that's about – I mean, what are your most complete games of the season?
The Baylor win at the end of the season.
That's one that I think because of the opponent. Yeah, that one's there. The Kansas game has got to be in the conversation. I know you had one guy that stood out, but Kansas, you
maybe even
held them down shooting.
Maybe even Texas to start Big 12 play. That was really solid.
Texas, yeah, that was you were pretty complete from start to finish on that one. Mm-hmm. I don't really count anything against OSU or the Lessers, the West Virginias.
The Lessers.
That's a mean. Too mean.
The programs with their coaches fired. I don't pay attention to them.
Your first game against BYU was terrible first half, amazing second half. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those might be the that might be the short list there.
Yeah.
BYU, Texas, Kansas, the mm-hmm. Baylor game. I still do believe.
I think the lessers are actually the heckling crowd at C.S. Lesserton's games.
Oh, really? The
that's
lessers.
What they call themselves.
Yeah, that's our little. There's only about 13 of them, but man, can they make noise.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Defense is what Grant McCaslin is
yeah.
built off of. I mean, that's what he's.
I still think you can lose in. A game to NC State shooting it well if you're not defending well and they're shooting well. And I also think that you can win a game if you're not shooting great, if you are having one of those really good days on defense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look back at the there is one stat. I could give you a stat that will hold true. Have NC State score less than 75 points. Texas Tech is undefeated this year when teams have scored less than 75 points.
Yeah.
So if you can hold them below that number, then I feel pretty good because you haven't lost a single game all year. You look back to the four-game winning streak prior to the Houston game, mm-hmm. the Darian Williams-less game. You gave up 67 points, 68 points, 58 points, and 70 points.
Yeah.
So I think I'm focusing a lot on offense, but I think your point on defense is exactly right.
Maybe the true answer is number of injured players.
What, can we knock a couple of theirs out early?
Number of injured starters that you have sitting on the bench. If that number is 3, I'm not feeling real good about you winning the game.
Yeah.
We already know there's 1 in Cambridge. Washington feels pretty much like a guarantee to me. You guys, I mean, what's your confidence level that he's playing?
Washington?
Yeah.
I'm at 0 until I see him play.
That's where I'm at. I just, as a fan at least.
I've just kind of moved on.
Yep.
Assume he's not playing.
If he plays, then you still have to be cautious with, okay, we're easing him in here. I'm not saying that he's
not
going
play
to
play 30 minutes.
Right.
It's 10 or 12. If
where plays. Are you going to play him? Is he a step slow? If you play him, I mean, these are tight games. This is the NCAA tournament. Your season's on the line. So if he's available to play, you have to be pretty judicious with the minutes that he is playing. So I don't know. And that's a giant if. I'm with Clint. Yeah. I don't even think of him as playing at this point.
I don't.
Darian Williams, I fully expect to play, and I
– Fully?
Yeah, I think that is 100%. He's playing. Now, what percentage is he at is the question. And I think it's going to be, we won't be able to notice a difference, but we'll see. I hope it's that, because if you don't have Darian Williams at 100%, then my confidence in this winning this game goes down.
I wouldn't guess he's going to be at 100%.
Sorry. If you don't have him at, at least 80%, then my confidence wanes.
I hate the feeling I have right now. I think since yesterday I have talked myself into thinking we're going to lose.
Why are you talking
that
to yourself
is
like
the
that?
The opposite of choosing That's joy.
I think that is self-abuse. You're talking to yourself like that.
I don't
that.
Know. That's... I'm just getting more nervous.
Wow.
The closer we get there, the more nervous I get.
It is the tournament. Anything can happen.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.